there, and it was Bernie S. who's off the hook
of course.
Week. And so we started communicating.
It's always Emmanuel, Nick Farr, or Bernie. They make like the whole community go around.
Well, you know, that's how things happen, is individuals communicating with each other.
Well, that's the crazy thing about kind of hope in these things is, like, you know, there's people I haven't seen here since the last one, but it's like, you know, it's like we all know each other. So it's kind of like there's such a big community, but it's such a small world. It's fascinating.
It is. And yeah. It's I think, as a lot of people say, it's like a family reunion every 2 years, except that we actually like one another.
Well, especially after the drinks, you end up liking one another. So Hope Fifth, which I actually have a kind of crazy armband for, yeah. That was your first?
Hope Six, actually.
Hope Six.
I was number 97. Even though I'm not a number, I'm a human
number,
being.
Those number one, number nine, yeah. That year. So you came over. Was that your first HackerCon, or is that?
Wow. That was my first HackerCon.
Wow.
2006. So it wasn't, you know, it's getting to be a long time now. It's 2012.
Did you show up to look around, or did you set up a vendor table? Like, what was the motivation behind that?
I knew that I was going to be involved, because you know, I brought a whole bunch of TV guns to give away, and I gave a talk. You know, and TV Gone too, I mean, I do make a living off of it, which I'm incredibly grateful for. Just for life. And it's an excuse to talk about things that are near and dear to me.
Mm.
And so I gave a talk on all these subjects in and out and related to TV yeah. Gone, media, corporate culture, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that went over pretty well. And I also talked to so many people who I still know.
Right.
And so it was... the hope after that, the last hope, which was 4 years ago.
Yes. Thank you, Emmanuel, for that naming system. Because it was like the last hope. No, it was the next hope. It was the one hope eight. You know, it just.
Uh-huh. But there, that's where I set up a huge hardware hacking area for the first time, a huge one.
Thank you.
And it was incredibly wonderful.
I remember that place just being swamped like all 3 days. It was just freaking magical. Like, usually, like, before that, it was always the lockpick tables that were kind of swamped. There was just people buying stuff. I know, but now it's like kind of.
Now
every year it gets crazier and crazier and crazier. Yeah, I know. I love the options.
Yeah, and like this year, there's all these places that are mobbed. And even like the vendor tables, which some. I remember Hope Six, there were, you know, NoSearch has always had way cool books, and there were a lot of people there. But now the vendor areas have all of these projects that are. You know, manifestations, the real products that people are selling because people explored and did what they love, often at a hackerspace or starting at a hacker conference. And they're mobbed! know, and the lockpicking village is mobbed. And
Every time they have a Hope conference, I've always seen that one thing where there's a new vendor and they're like, okay, we have 80 books. We're just going to sit here. This should be nice. And then when those doors open, you just see that horror on their face and just like a mob of people. And it's just like... a tissue and their like hat on their foot lying on the floor because it's just so many people just absorb everything.
But they're happy. It's a wonderful problem to have.
Hungry, you know. It's glad that we have people that are really hungry for knowledge now. Very fortunate. So before we get into the more fun stuff, we have to talk about the billion foot elephant in the room here, which is the thing I'm really excited for the most on Sunday, besides the Old School Freaks panel, which is that. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around this because I actually found this out a week ago, which is the whole that, you know, I love Make Magazine. I've loved the Makers Faire. They always have it in Queens and New York, like almost every time. But that recently DARPA, I believe, came out and was like, hey, you know, we'll fund stuff, and maybe if you'd like to make some electronics for us, it'd be good. And you're kind of like, that's not really like what I would do. And since, you know, in my personal opinion, besides, you know, Nick Farr, when people think of hacker spaces, especially when they think of making electronics, they think of you. So when you pulled out, that was like this big shot heard around the internet of like, well, what's going on? What's the issue here? And some people refuse. Some people tell me like there's going to be a panel about this. So I don't want to be like panel here now, but just tell me a gist of like what kind of like, when did you find that whole thing out, and like, and just your whole philosophy of just why you pulled out, like why is this a big concern for you?
Yeah, well, the panel, I'm the moderator. I'm going to be totally upfront of my bias with a 2-minute intro.
This is like one of those argument panels like we did with the WikiLeaks Adrian Lamo.
Yeah,
last time.
Well, I hope this one isn't as controversial, but it's...
Well, no one will be throwing tomatoes at this.
No, we can all, you know, we all have our own thoughts, opinions, right. feelings, whatever, and can respect each other a great deal. You know, like the person who started Make Magazine and Maker Faire is Dale Dougherty, mm-hmm. and I totally respect Dale. I think he's a wonderful human being, and the DARPA stuff doesn't change that even a little for me. I still love Make. I still love Maker Faire. I've learned so much through that. I could share what I love to so many other people because of it. And that's just me. And there's zillions of people who will continue to benefit greatly from all of this. And
right.
I'm not doing anything in order to hurt Make or Maker Faire.
Right.
You know, it was just a personal thing for me, what I can feel good doing in my life. I do what I do primarily because I love it.
Right.
And I constantly reevaluate that because I'm a moving target, as we all are.
Right.
And so, you know, just because I loved something a year ago doesn't mean I love it now. I would still totally love teaching people to solder and do everything I do in hardware hacking area at Maker Faire.
Mm-hmm.
I would still love doing that, but I can't feel good doing it now knowing that all of those efforts are associated, even in whatever minimal ways, with DARPA and DARPA money.
Mm.
And for people who may not know, DARPA is Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency.
Mm-hmm.
So according to their website, they exist for developing new technology for the U.S. military.
Yeah. They're the ones that build the drones.
For instance,
Jones, yeah.
And you know, and their research has gone into things that have later turned into something positive.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that for something positive, or in their view, people who work at DARPA, negative.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it to fulfill their goals, which is new technology for the U.S. military.
Right.
Currently, according to Wikipedia, to a tune of $3.2 billion annual budget.
Mm-hmm.
So DARPA, it turns out, has a grant for $10 million total,
mm-hmm.
Portioned out over several years,
mm-hmm.
renewable each year if you're doing the cool thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Maker Faire, Dale, and Saul Griffith and some other people at O'Reilly
right.
Media thought it would be really, really incredibly cool, and I agree, to have a program to start basically hackerspaces in high school.
Yeah, well, that's brilliant. That's like, I always wanted to think to want to go to, you know?
Yeah, because imagine I had to go to an expensive university,
right.
the University of Illinois, which
right.
is way yeah. more expensive now than it was even yeah. when I went. But, you know, not everyone has the opportunity to go to
right.
a university.
In
high school, what
yeah.
would it have been like?
And my thing, like, I wish I had that, because, like, when, like, that's the reason why I ended up being like, Mitch, please teach me how to solder, because no one knew how to do it in my school. And I remember, can I tell you a funny, quick
sure.
tragic story about my high school? The day I found out that the computer lab in my high school, 10 years ago, before I came, used to bin the metal shop class.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, if we had the computer class and the metal shop class, I would have been like, you know, I was bullied, but great time of high school.
Well, you know,
you know?
Yeah,
I wish I had that
stuff
yeah,
as
building
well.
Things.
Cause getting
I love
rid of
things.
The shop classes, as almost every school
yeah.
in the U.S. has done, is
I know.
A real disservice to all of us.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not like everyone has to do metal work.
Yeah.
But, you know, why get rid of that?
But well, again, you're also talking about the country that's been, like, cutting back with education in general.
Oh, yeah,
and
there's no
budget
art,
cuts.
There's
yeah.
no shop. There's often there's no phys ed, which
no one
at
has
least there's no gym teachers.
And,
but
and even then, no one has time to dream, which is the most important part in me of being a human being.
It's all about standardized
yeah.
test scores. And this is a problem.
Right.
And the people at DARPA who created this, and I think, and I'm not even sure how much he was involved, but there's a well-known hacker, Mudge, he calls himself Mudge,
mm.
Who works for DARPA. And he sees what he does as help giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So taking some percentage of money that's for DARPA, that
right.
$3.2 billion, but giving some of that to hackers, hackerspaces, to Maker Faire through
mm-hmm.
these grants. And so, you know, Dale and these other people involved at O'Reilly Media are wanting to use this money for incredibly good things, but I just can't help myself, because in my view, and other people can disagree, you know, I hope we all make our own choices
mm-hmm.
and own decisions, but for me, if I'm helping my goals by accepting money from organizations that, in my case, are antithetical to my goals, then right. I'm also helping those goals that are antithetical to mine as I'm doing what I'm doing. So, but how do you weigh that out?
Yeah, because the one thing I will say about this is that it, to me, it is a very complicated and tricky issue. It's like, I have very mixed feelings about it. Like, I went in, I completely agree with, like, you know, that DARPA's end goal is going to be DARPA's end goal, no matter how altruistic it is. On the other hand, it was actually a poignant moment in my head where I was kind of like, well, you know, I hope, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm like, I'm glad that in a weird way a part of my tax money would be going to Maker Faire and making things, but I'd rather give them direct donation. But it was like this fleeing thought about that. But
what I would love, though, is not, because, you know, before Dale got the money from DARPA, sought after the DARPA grant, which, by the way, exists because people in DARPA know that the American education system is not good enough to give them enough high-quality engineers. And that's the stated goal of this grant.
And I'm also sure that every single CIA agent has a TV being on. But
if they're turning TVs off, that's great. It's not helping the CIA with their goals. The thing is... DARPA has, people in DARPA are doing what they're doing to aid the goals, stated goals of DARPA.
Yeah.
And, Make Magazine and Maker Faire and these people involved with this new program, Mentor, they're calling it, are going to do great things with the money.
Right.
But how do you weigh off the pluses and the minuses?
Right.
And I think we each have to do that on our own. So myself, I just couldn't feel incredibly good about doing all I had been doing, knowing that it's also helping DARPA in some way and the goals of DARPA. So I struggled with this. It's still not easy.
Maker
Faire was a huge, huge, wonderful part of my life.
Right.
And I think there are people, including the head of O'Reilly Media, who wrote a rather kind of angry, mean, open letter to me on my Facebook and Google Plus page.
Wow.
As a result.
And
I think a lot of people at Make are holding a grudge against me, which certainly, I didn't do what I did to hurt Make. I did what I did publicly so that other people could think about it in their way and know that there are pluses and minuses to, as there are to everything, but funding sources. And this is what I want to, this is exactly why I created the panel, which will be on Sunday here at Hope, is so that people of various points of views, various opinions, various feelings could express them. I'll ask open-ended questions. There's no right and wrong with all this, absolute.
Right.
There's things that, for me, are more right and more wrong. And for you, maybe we overlap, maybe not. But it would be fascinating, I think, to have all of these people on one panel and then for people in the audience to see what do they resonate with as people are talking.
Giant open forum, very democratic.
Yeah, think more, you know, give people more of an opportunity to explore this because it's complicated. It's not just like, oh, there's $1 million, good.
Right.
You know, it's not just good.
Yeah.
It's not just bad, of course, either. There's pluses and minuses. Or, or DARPA bad, you know.
Yeah.
Like, DARPA money has gone to research things which have become huge parts of our life, like the internet.
Right.
Of course, there's a talk for Hope saying the internet is porn or something to this sense. And, you know, DARPA did not, ARPA at the time, they added the D later, but they didn't fund research for this distributed network so that we could have something 80% or whatever the statistic is to communicate porn in the country and the world. They did it so that scientists could communicate in the event of nuclear war with
Russia,
whole swatches
had
destroyed
the
of the network.
Yeah. And I guess quick thing about the internet is my answer, you can sum up the internet, is that the internet, I almost blanked out here, the internet is very much still an American invention, and the thing about America is that we sort of pornographicize everything, so the internet is always at the end of porn, even if the pornography is information.
Well, it's just about any technology that's new that can be used for porn will.
Yes,
guaranteed.
I mean, that's just the way, and, you know, it's the same sort of abuse sort of thing. And of course, so we can get more interesting.
Not necessarily abuse. I mean, it's just, you know, if people want porn, they're going to make it.
Yes. And so just so we can get into some more of the fun questions and also to take stuff in chat for anyone asking in chat. that, you know, please go see, if you are here at the Hope Conference this week, and please go see Mitch's talk. It's at, what, 7 or what, 5?
The DARPA talk?
Yes, the DARPA talk.
The panel. Yeah. Oh, I can't remember the time. It's on Sunday in the main room, Dennis.
If you go to Hope Number 9's website, it has the whole listing.
Yeah, I think it's
like
4 o'clock.
But it's definitely on a Sunday, yep. If anyone that is in our live stream chat, you can type in a question and I will read it. Yeah, we can all take questions. In the meantime, I'm just going to ask some fun questions about being curious. There's someone on the chat earlier that was saying, these two are flirting with each other. Because I guess we're so really into the chat, which I guess bias of that is guilty. But still, so here's some of my own, like, after we get those, because I thought those were, like, more fundamental questions. I want to get into some more fun, interesting stuff. And here's a question I've been wanting to ask even personally forever. If you had to describe yourself as an electronic object, even if it was especially if it was something from Cordfield Electronics, which like electronic thing would that be, and why?
probably TV Be Gone, because you know TV Be Gone, like me, is an excuse for much broader topics. So you know, it's a toy in a lot of ways. It's a novelty in a lot of ways. Yet there's and it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredibly fun, and it's a trickster kind of a thing. And I see myself really as a trickster. And one of the things I like saying is I like tricking people into doing what they love. And if TV Be Gone, by being fun, turning TVs off, can trick people in a compassionate way, because compassion's important, can trick people into turning TVs off, maybe they'll find that they actually like TVs off more than on, and with the time that they have, they might be able to do something more enjoyable. So, you know, and like, that's really what it's all about, is for all of us to choose better, and no matter where we are in our lives, we can always choose better what to do with the time of our lives.
Right.
And TV Be Gone does that, I do that, and all of that comes together, so there's an analogy.
And I think that very resonates today, because we have so many different things, particularly with electronics, that we do, that we're starting to realize that we sort of want to do everything, and we're more reminded of how short our lives actually are.
Yeah.
So I think prioritizing is just this huge thing now, you know.
It's important, because no matter how, you know, we're born at some point, you know, and we're dead at some point. The only time we have is what's in between.
Right.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. And even if we live 104, that's not all that much time to do all the amazingly incredible things that you might love to do. Mm. And if you don't know what those things are, then there's even less time, because you have to explore what those things are. But it's not the goal that's important.
Right.
The goal is that you're dead. You know,
yeah,
so the whole thing is about what's in between, and
right.
It's the process. So what do you do at that time in that process of exploring, trying, making choices, learning from them, having no control over the consequences, but seeing the consequences, thinking, learning, feeling, all those things, learning from it, and then you make new choices. That's the process that gives life meaning.
Yes, and I would also add to that that it's also what you leave behind that the people come afterwards end up knowing and starting to experiment on
their
own.
If you find meaning in that, great.
Yes.
So go for it, because, you know, that's what you have.
Do you have any questions? 4 minutes. Okay. So I guess real quick question. So real quick, what was the most interesting like talk or thing that you've seen at the Hope Number 9 today?
You know, I've been so involved with organizing, I haven't been able to see anything except for one talk, and that was Vinny's talk. And that was great. The picture he painted of, I can't read so well close, but
I can read that. Just finish your question real quick.
Yeah, just his overall picture of how, not like personally corrupt, but overall corrupt this whole system is of a money-making machine, which Eisenhower called the military-industrial
complex,
and which Binney called the industrial happiness-generating, I think he called it,
a movie called Branded that I think sums that up really well.
So.
So the question, if I can read this, that's Mitch, is, have you ever considered adding more senses to the trip glasses? He says, I do meditative auto-hypnosis, and I've tried the trip glasses, and while they work, it's not the whole experience. I was wondering if you plan on adding more to those classes.
I've been wanting to do that since I thought of the project before implementing. And I'm doing so many other things that I haven't had time to explore that. Other people are doing that, and I've been helping some people, and I'm way curious to see what the results could be. Because, for instance, if you're reading brainwaves as well as presenting brainwaves, now we can have feedback loops.
Yeah.
And so you can like dial in a state that you want
constantly
to be,
auto-adjusting,
and it can help
yeah.
you get there really quickly and powerfully, like sleep or meditation or...
And everyone's brain's like a snowflake, so you kind of want to, you know, adjust to that. That would be really neat to add.
Way cool.
I guess since we have due time, I'm going to ask this, and then maybe I'll ask the goofy question asked after this, but since, you know, all your projects are open source at Cornfield Electronics, and you've done crazy... What is the most craziest thing you've ever seen someone do with your electronics, like a modification or a stunt that they pulled?
Crazy stuff. Well, stunts. I mean, Gizmodo turned off zillions of TVs.
Oh, I remember that.
At CES.
At CES, and they banned them there, didn't they?
Yeah, but the main thing that they, you know, like that was in the noise because there are so many TVs in Vegas and at CES, Consumer Electronics Show. The only thing that made it famous was the two-minute video they put on Gawker Media on Gizmodo. And as a result, I got $24,000 of sales in one day.
Wow.
Which was kind of bizarre. And, you know, and the video was called The Meanest Thing Gizmodo Ever Did.
Remember, disaster, things go up.
So, but, you know, I was kind of surprised because TV Gone is a product that I made for me. And it's actually got broad appeal. Mm-hmm. In order for it to be still around these many years later, yeah. and people use it for all sorts of different purposes, including turning off all the televisions in a porn place is yeah. one place I found out, or nurses using them in hospitals, or musicians using them in bars where they refuse to turn the TVs off while they're playing music.
Wow, that
you know,
makes sense.
And, or deaf people, or not totally deaf, but people who have trouble hearing, and they'll use them in restaurants so that it can actually take place in the conversation.
So I'm going to make this last one because it's kind of goofy. If you could sum this up in like 30 seconds.
Sure.
When did you start dyeing your hair and how long does it take?
I started doing it years ago because I've always wanted blue hairs ever since I was a little kid, but I was afraid, and now I'm not afraid anymore since I was losing it and it's falling out. I wanted to do it before it's all gone, and I can do it in like 15 minutes.
Yes, take that, society. Awesome. Well, anyhow, like I said, you're a huge idol to me. I'm really honored, and it's probably going to be like my best memory from Hope to come down here and interview, because there's so much amazing talk and stuff. But if you ever come to to Noise Bridge, or you ever come to Hope or any of the places, always check out Mitch. You don't know how to solder, he can teach you in 5 seconds. He really opens up stuff. It was really an honor to have you here, Mitch.
Thanks so much.
Thank you and stuff. So that's our interview with the amazing Mitch Altman. Stay tuned for more fun stuff on Radio Statler coming up. And yeah, let's keep Hope rocking. Enjoy.
<Why not? laughs> Cool.
I'm going to unmute myself there. All right, stay tuned, listeners. We got another talk coming up right after this. Hack DC and Project Byzantine according to the schedule. So don't go away, we'll be right back.